Let's start with our children's story today. I believe it's called Noah and the Ark. Oh, yeah. One of my children removed the bookmark from here, so I had to rediscover where we were at. One day, God looked at all the people on the earth and saw that their every thought was evil and full of sin. He was sorry that he had ever made man. So God said, "I will wipe man off the face of the earth." But Noah was a good and righteous man who tried to follow God in all things. God wanted to save Noah, so he said to him, "Build an ark out of gopher wood, make it 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high." Then God told Noah exactly how to build the roof, where to put the door, and how to fix the rooms inside the ark. God said, "I will flood the earth and everything on it will die, but I will keep you safe. You will go into the ark with your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives. Take with you two of every living creature, male and female, to keep them alive too." So Noah built the ark just as God told him. Then he, his family, and the animals went inside and God shut the door. The rains came, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. The waters rose and covered the entire earth, even the mountains. Everything on dry land died. Only Noah and those in the ark lived. For 150 days, the water completely covered the earth. Then God sent a wind to dry up the waters. After another 150 days, the ark landed on the mountains of Ararat. After 40 days, Noah opened the window and sent out a raven. The raven flew back and forth until the waters dried up. Then Noah sent out a dove, but she came back to the ark because she couldn't find a place to rest. After 7 days, Noah sent the dove out again. This time she came back with an olive leaf. A week later, Noah sent the dove out again, and this time she didn't return. The ground was dry. Noah, his family, and all the animals came out of the ark. God promised he would never again flood the whole earth. Then he placed a rainbow in the sky as a sign of his promise. The Christ Connection says, "The story of the flood shows us how serious God is about sin. He will not leave sin unpunished. But the story of Noah also shows us how loving God is. He provided a rescue plan for one righteous man, Noah. The rescue was extended to Noah's family. The story points ahead to a greater rescue. Jesus, the only perfectly righteous person, came to take the punishment for sin. We trust his act of obedience and are saved from the punishment our sin deserves." All right, kids, you can head off downstairs, have fun, do Sunday school, learn lots, be nice to one another and to your teachers. We are praying for you and we love you dearly. Alrighty. So now's the time that we come together as a church family and we pray for those things that some things are worth rejoicing and obviously want to bring thanksgiving to God for that. And we also need prayer for just God to intervene in our lives in some ways. I know Sean approached me this morning. Walter downstairs. I can't believe I drew a blank on that. But Sean went downstairs. He said he needs prayer for one of his friends named Taylor, I believe it was. She was taken to the hospital with some pains in her lower side. Not really sure what that's all about. He wasn't even really sure. So we want to uplift her in prayer and her lower sides. And a man is out there helping her out right now at the hospital, I guess. We want to continue to pray for Shane's mom. For his family, Shane's mom has been in the hospital quite intensely. She's been intubated and everything. And so we want to continue to uplift her in prayer and just pray for healing. It's a lot when your family members and loved ones are in the hospitals. It drains you a lot. So we also want to pray for the family as they look out for those loved ones in the hospital as well. Anyone else have anything they would like to share this morning? Oh, my goodness. You all asked for rain, and now you want it to stop.
I didn't ask for rain.
That's fair enough. I'm just hassling you. We'll definitely pray for some the ability for farmers to get out there and do their crops, and same for the gardeners. That's fantastic. I don't see, being from southern Alberta, I'm used to the irrigation system, so a lot of times it's like, well, they kind of have us covered in that way. Ooh, yes. Right. But you said his infection's gone, or potentially? Fantastic. For sure. Sorry, Sean, I talked about your friend. What was her name? Was it Taylor? No. Yeah, Taylor, okay. I just want to double check that one. Allie. Safe travels for Allie's parents. I would say traveling's fun, but that's not my bag, so good times. Yes. Fantastic. Yeah. And you guys, is this where you like sing gospel music and a little bit? Oh, okay, you do that at camp as well. Okay. Fantastic. Yes, Mr. John. Fantastic. Absolutely. A tough walk, but also one that can be very redeeming as well. So, yeah. Yes, Jean. So your dad is going for tests for cancer, okay. We will definitely pray that his prostate cancer is in remission for sure. Absolutely. All righty. Oh, did I miss somebody? Mr. Mark, sir, yes. Absolutely, for sure. Oral, okay, thank you. absolutely. Definitely a good cause to be thankful for community and neighbors around here. Although a lot of the community and neighbors were asking me about not being an Oilers fan, so. I was being told today I'm not truly converted unless I'm an Oilers fan. I'm like, what is going on here? This is questionable stuff being said. I'm a Calgarian, so there you go. Good times. I love you guys. Let's pray for these things and take them to our God. Lord Jesus, today we come and we bow down before you. And Lord, we just pray that our attention and our focus is driven towards you. And Lord, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to come and fill this place and fill us in this moment. Let us learn, let us teach, and let us praise you, Jesus. And so we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for the many gifts that you give us. And we continue to pray that we would be a church that impacts those around us. That we would invite friends that don't know who you are. And we would desire to see their lives changed and transformed by the person that is Jesus Christ. So we pray for that. And Lord, we have a great list today of things that we want to pray for, and some of them are praise items, and some of them are items of concern. And so we just lift these all up to you right now, Jesus. We pray that you continue to work in our church's life, and that you continue to show that you answer prayer. And we thank you for that. So we pray for Sean and Amanda's friend Taylor today with lower abdominal pains. We just pray, Lord, that there would be some sort of resolution there, that there would be healing in her body. Lord, we pray that the doctors are able to figure out what's wrong or what's causing these issues. And so we just pray that your hand would fall upon her and bring a healing touch. And we thank you for that. And we continue to uplift Shane's mom to you as well. And we just pray for health in her life. It's been such a crazy couple weeks with up and downs, and it seems like more downs than ups, but Lord, you are a God of healing, and you are a great God. And so we just pray right now for healing in her life, but more importantly, we pray for healing in her soul. Lord Jesus, we just pray for energy and restoration for the family as well, as they've been driving back and forth between hospitals and making those concerned phone calls and text messages. And so we just lay this all at your feet, and we give this burden to you and say, Jesus, it is yours. Please heal her and heal the family, we pray. And Lord, we just ask for, at this moment in time, just a moment where there's a calmness to some of the rainstorms. We are so grateful that you did bring rain when we called for it. We just need a little break right now so we can get the seeds in the soil and they stick and such. I just pray, Lord, that you continue to create fertile soil and that you make the fruits, vegetables, the crops, you make them bountiful around here just as you did last year. Lord Jesus, we just pray for your blessing upon this land. We cry out to you and we thank you for all that you do. And Lord, we bring you praise for Russell, and it's still a super long journey for him with a lot of physical healing that needs to be done in his body. And so we pray that your hand continues to touch him, that you would bring restoration to him. We're thankful that at the moment the infection seems to be gone, but we just pray for the dialysis now and for those kidneys to get renewed and restored health. Thank you so much for Russell. And Lord, we thank you for opportunities to even take trips. I think some of us were able to do that last weekend with camping or whatever it happened to be. But we just thank you that we live in a nation where we can travel and kind of see the world in a sense. And so we pray for Allie's parents as they travel right now. And we just pray that you would keep them safe and guarded at this time. Thank you so much for traveling. Lord, we also hand over to you, Irvin and Rhonda, as they're about to head out on travels as well to Kananaskis. And we pray that they continue to have an impact on the community that they work in. And we thank you so much for the heart of working with people, just loving on them, and having hearts that desire to see everybody come to Jesus Christ, everybody, and it's just fantastic to see. And so we just pray that you would give them safe travels, that you would give them courage during devotions, and that they would be presented in a way that these people just see who you are, Jesus. That they lap it up and they fall in love with you, Jesus. So we thank you for that. And Lord, we continue to once again pray for weather stuff, as we want decent weather today for a memorial walk for John's nephew. What a tough, tough journey to take as a family, as you walk a road where brokenness came to a completion. And you know how hurting we can be at times in this world, God. And so we just pray that this walk, these walks can have impacts on people, that they can see value in life, they can see value in who you are, God, and that they turn towards you. Open up the door for amazing conversation. Open up the door to see the light, to see you. And so we thank you for these brutally difficult walks, but ones that we pray turn others towards who you are, Jesus. And so we thank you for that. And Lord, we continue to pray for Jamie, for her health, as she had a bit of struggles there. We pray that you restore her body at this time as well. But we also want to pray for her father, who's going for some testing for prostate cancer. And so we just pray that that is still in remission. And we pray that you will continue to hold the cancer off. And we thank you for that, Jesus. We pray for Oral as well, who had a stroke. And what a devastating thing to happen to the body. As paralysis sets in, Lord Jesus, we just pray that you open up pathways for the blood to flow and restore those parts of the body. We pray for healing in Oral's life. We pray for this difficult journey that's ahead of him as he rehabilitates his body. And so we pray for him. We pray for healing there. And Lord, we are finally thankful for great community, great neighbors that we have. And we pray that as we thank you for who they are, that we would also be just fantastic in their world as well. That we would be a church that moves and is motivated to be active to the people around us, to work hard with them and for them. So we thank you for our community. We thank you for our neighbors. And we pray that we would be an impact in their lives. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so we are actually doing kind of like a part two of a discussion here. But don't worry, if you missed out on part one, that's okay, because it's not going to be the end of the world if you missed out on it. We're going to continue a discussion, though, on the spiritual gifts. And I talked a bit about this last week and how we have to approach this in a humble fashion, how probably even in this building there will be no consensus where we will be unified in our stance on this one. But it is something that we definitely need to approach, just get an education on, and understand exactly what the spiritual gifts are. And, I'll present kind of how I feel about them as well. I feel that they are still active in the church, and so I may not feel that way, and that's okay to feel as well. So, let's read 1 Corinthians, and we're going to read chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. So join me as I read here. Starting in verse 4, it says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but they are all given to believers by the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve, but they all come from the same Lord. There are different ways the Spirit works, but the same God is working in all these ways and in all people. The Holy Spirit is given to each of us in a special way. That is for the good of all. To some people, the Spirit gives a message of wisdom. To others, the same Spirit gives a message of knowledge. To others, the same Spirit gives faith. To others, that one Spirit gives gifts of healing. To others, He gives the power to do miracles. To others, He gives the ability to prophesy. To others, He gives the ability to tell the spirits apart. To others, He gives the ability to speak in different kinds of languages they had not known before. And to still others, He gives the ability to explain what was said in those languages. All the gifts are produced by one and the same Spirit. He gives gifts to each person just as He decides. Once again, a reminder that we approach this discussion humbly, as there are differences of opinions with spiritual gifts, how the gifts are manifested, and how the spiritual gifts are used. Grace and humility must be at the forefront of any engagement on this passage. And we will discover today that there are a few locations in the Bible with spiritual gifts, but today's message will revolve mostly around the ones in 1 Corinthians. So in chapter 12, Paul starts listing of spiritual gifts with the utterance of wisdom, or the message of wisdom. Just a side note before I get into this, we're just really going to cover, for the most part, exactly what the gifts are, what they entail. And maybe some of you will be like, ooh, I know someone that's got that, or I feel this person has that, and that's fantastic. It's kind of cool to see others see someone have these gifts. And on an individual side, sometimes it's hard to identify our own gifts. And I'm looking into getting a package for our church that we could kind of walk through on our own if we want to kind of determine what our spiritual gifts may be. So, starting with the utterance of wisdom, or the message of wisdom. This particular gift, we have to know that Paul is making a point here because it is the first one that he lists. We recall that there is lots of difficulties in the church of Corinth around the issue of knowledge and wisdom, right? They feel that they're these superstars when it comes to being knowledgeable and wise. It's the know-it-alls versus those who are labeled as weak in Corinth. And the people in Corinth, they felt they had this angelic wisdom and were thus in their minds in an angelic state. And they lived in such a fashion. They didn't really care about the earthly stuff. D.A. Carson, he points out the emphasis is not exactly on the wisdom here for Paul, but on the message, the logos, which literally means the word. The message of wisdom then pertains to the word of God. It's not a worldly wisdom, but one directly attached to the wisdom of the message of the crucified Christ. This is true wisdom, and it's recognized only by those who receive the Holy Spirit. A reminder that all spiritual gifts are supernatural and powered by the Holy Spirit. He is the one who wills and determines who gets which gift. The church in Corinth is a wisdom-conscious community. This is their big value. It's their big push in their church. Instead of effect, they would have something behind their pastor saying, wisdom. It turns out, though, that their spiritual utterances coming from those that proclaim the crucified Christ is not really something that the church in Corinth is praised for by Paul. They're actually not demonstrating this at all. They have no utterances of wisdom, even though this is what they take pride in. And it's quite interesting that this particular gift does not appear in any further list or discussion. Paul will then follow up this with the utterance of knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge, they kind of run parallel to one another, and they seem as though they may be the same, yet they are not. F.F. Bruce writes, Paul presumably intends some distinction between Sophia, wisdom, and gnosis, knowledge. But the distinction is not clear to us. Paul separates the two as being different gifts of the Spirit, so there must be some distinction here. This is the gift of utterance of knowledge and not knowledge itself. No one knows everything. God does, of course. And so this is not some knowledge that is obtained from a book or one that can be studied to achieve. It's a receiving a spiritual knowledge. It's a supernatural knowledge from God, and in general, this knowledge is revelatory in nature. This means knowledge is gifted about a particular situation or person in a supernatural way. And as I think about this, I think about two incidents in Acts where we may see this gift on complete display. We see this gift demonstrated. Acts chapter 5, where Peter uncovers the fact that Ananias had kept some of the money he claimed to have given the church. This is that moment where Ananias and Sapphira, they're all like, yeah, we totally gave all our money from the sale of our land. No, they did not. And Peter knew this. That's kind of that spiritual knowledge on display there. It didn't end well for Ananias or his wife, so that's, don't mess around with the Holy Spirit for sure. Then in Acts chapter 27, Paul, he's going to warn the entire crew of the ship that he's on that they need to stay together or perish. And we see in these stories just clear supernatural knowledge that is at work in both of the lives of these people. Both wisdom and knowledge, they reflect the God-given ability to bring spiritual insight beyond human understanding to bear on a situation. All right, so those are kind of like the wisdom-y, knowledge-y gifts, and they're fantastic. I don't possess any of those, so that's not very fun, but I like the ones that do possess those knowledge and wisdom. Paul then mentions faith as a spiritual gift. The gift of faith. I like these people. They're the fun ones to be around. They're the ones that no matter what situation is going on, they have it in their mind that God is going to see you through that situation. You're like, what? The church is building to the burning to the ground. And they're like, no, this is great. God is being so faithful here. And you're like, how? But they see it. This is not a saving faith. A saving faith is a necessity for all of us believers in Jesus Christ. And we all need to possess this in order to have relationship with God. Paul would say that this faith is a mountain-moving faith. It's a supernatural conviction that God will reveal his power and his mercy in a special way and in a specific instance. Hey, he says, presumably faith here refers not to ordinary Christian faith in God, but to the sort of special faith that can move mountains. Bailey would say faith in the New Testament is composed of intellectual assent, a response in obedience, and a daily walk of trust. Many are gifted in one or more of these three aspects of faith. Like I say, have you ever come across those people that seem to have the greatest faith imaginable? I mean, the world falling down all around them, and yet they got this smile on their face knowing that God's going to work things out, and they show no fear in awaiting God's power to show itself. These people, they see what no one sees. They go where no one else will go. They risk what no one else will risk, and they do it with a quiet confidence and an unshakable assurance as they know that God is going to come through in the end. These are the people that you want on your missions trips. These are the ones that you want in the missions fields, and you just see them, and they're out there doing things that you're like, wow, you are clearly following where the Holy Spirit is leading you, and you're seeing some amazing things. I love that these people have unshakable faith in God's unequaled faithfulness that is far more abundant than all we ask or think. Gift of faith. Then there's the gift of healings that Paul mentions after this. In Greek, the words for gifts and healings are plural. This would suggest that there are different kinds of healings, and I would assume this to be true because we go to a doctor for physical healing, we go to a counselor for emotional healing, and some will actually go to a pastor for spiritual healing. So yes, there are different types of healings. There are gifts of healings, meaning at certain times in certain situations and through certain people, God brings healings to those who are sick. Do you believe that God still heals people? Absolutely. I believe and I pray for healing every Sunday with us. And I know, I'm convinced that God answers those prayers. And we've seen healings even in as you go through some of the lists that we've been through before. It's like, God answered this, God answered this. And you see that faithfulness. And it's fantastic to see. James chapter 5, verse 13 to 18 has a great statement about prayer. And this is kind of one thing I love about our church is I know that people will come forward to us and ask for prayer in this sense. It says this in verse 13, is anyone among you in trouble? Then that person should pray. Is anyone among you happy? Then that person should sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Then the person should send for the elders of the church to pray over them. They should ask the elders to anoint them with olive oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer offered by those who have faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will heal them. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. So confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you might be healed. The prayer of a godly person is powerful. Things happen because of it. Elijah was a human being just as we are. He prayed hard that it would rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again. That time it rained, and the earth produced its crops. I believe in faith healing. I do not believe in faith healers. God heals, and he uses medication at times. He uses the prayer of the faith to heal, and he uses his people to bring about physical, emotional, and spiritual healing as we pray to him, all for his glory. And unfortunately, sometimes it's not always God's will to heal, at least unfortunate for us. And that really hurts bad, and it leaves us lacking in our understanding here, and it makes our faith waver. But God, he still heals. And one of my favorite things to do is actually go through history. I know history, nerd, whatever. But I go through the history of, like, the church, and a lot of my textbooks are Alliance history. And so we run into these healing meetings that they have. And one that always stands out to me was this lady in the 1900s who was full of cancer. She was pretty much dead. And she came to one of these prayer meetings for prayer at the church. And God moved in this lady and removed the cancer from her body as she was healed completely. And I look at that, I'm like, God is still healing his people. And some have been gifted with the spiritual gift of healing. And so I pray that those people continue to pray for healing within the church. Then Paul moves on to miraculous power. Paul would most likely include healing here, but this manifestation covers all other kinds of supernatural activities beyond healing sickness. We need to get rid of this idea that miracles cannot happen. If I recall, God is still God and God is unchanging. Bailey writes this, in areas of our world traditionally close to the gospel, astounding miracles are taking place that cannot be forced into a post-enlightenment worldview. It's a fascinating in looking at things like the Voice of the Martyr online and seeing the Holy Spirit work and the miracles that occur in these countries that we would see as uncivilized. I know if you ever talk to missionary families and you just discuss with them about what they've seen some pretty intense things with the demonic powers on full display. They've also seen great healings, great miracles, and fantastic powers of God moving all over the place. But one of the things that's standing out lately nowadays is that God is using dreams to draw Islamic people to faith in Christ Jesus. Is God is driving them to his word and to his gospel and to his salvation by grace through faith. And this is all happening while they are asleep. God is working and he is fully capable of miracles. I pray that we begin to have faith in the miraculous and that the spiritual gift of performing miracles becomes a thing in the church again here in North America. The word miracles in the plural literally means the workings of power, and Carson notes that healings may be a demonstration of the miraculous, but not all miraculous powers can be limited to healings. One could argue that on a theological level and a practical level, the greatest miracle of all is regeneration. It's a sinner who trusts in Jesus being made into a new creation. What a miracle. What a miracle that we as a church needs to start seeing around us in the community around us, in the North American church, of people who turn to Jesus. If you have no problems with God, then you should have no problems with miracles. When it comes to spiritual gifts, whether it's miracles, healings, messages of wisdom and knowledge, prophecy, or any other gift, we need to refuse to put God into a box. Paul will then follow this with the statement of prophecy. Prophecy is a verbal manifestation, and really the definition of prophecy differs, as many have different ideas and thoughts of what this truly is. Some would state that simply preaching involves prophecies, and it's kind of true. But for the definition of prophecy, we will look at it like this. It's the spiritual activity to proclaim God's truth in such authoritative and powerful fashion that lives are changed. The lost are saved, and believers are motivated for greater service and maturity. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 14:3. But the person who prophesies speaks to people. That person prophesies to make people stronger, to give them hope and to comfort them. Blomberg says this of prophecy, both inside and outside of the canon, prophecy consistently included both foretelling, which is predicting future events, and more predominantly forth-telling, which is exhorting God's people about his will for their present circumstances. Prophecy is one of those ones that I've had several people approach me about this and say, I've got a prophetic word for you. And I'm like, fantastic. I would love to hear it. And I listen to it. And I thank them for that. I go to my word and I pray about it. And I say, I appreciate that very much. God will reveal whether it's truth or not through his word, through his Holy Spirit. Paul then writes of distinguishing between spirits. And the Greek word for distinguishing comes from a word that literally means to see through. This gift sees through the false teachings. It sees through the false prophets. It sees through the false doctrines. It sees through the false people. It's like having spiritual x-ray. These are the kind of guys that you want on your side because they're going to spot someone and say, nope, they're lying. And then you're like, great, that's fantastic. I'll listen to them because they have the Holy Spirit saying that's not okay. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 3 says this, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see if they belong to God. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. Here is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit agreeing that Jesus Christ came in a human body belongs to God. But every spirit that doesn't agree with this does not belong to God. You have heard that the spirit of the great enemy of Christ is coming, even now. It is already in the world. Now, here comes the real doozy one. This is followed by tongues. This is a minefield of a topic. It's really a troublesome discussion as there's plenty of division surrounding this when it comes to just belief, discussion, and understanding of it. This was the controversy in Corinth, and surprise, surprise, it is still a controversy today. And unfortunately, it's just as divisive. I reflect on a class I was having, and at first it was kind of funny, but it turned out it's not so funny in the end. It was at Ambrose's where I was taking the theology of holiness. Fantastic class, by the way, but that's a side note, because I'm trying to avoid talking about this. But at one point in time, a student decided to do a presentation on tongues. This was the fact that tongues was the worst thing on the face of this earth. And it got super ugly in our class. There was arguments, there was anger, and the professor, in a sense, lost control over the class in that moment. In fact, we had to call it a day after that, and that was our first presentation of the day, and it was just like, all right, we're going to have to move on from this and kind of rebuild on this because of the fact that it's such a divisive topic and there's a lot of venom that can attach itself to it. But tongues, for those who don't know, it's a Holy Spirit-inspired utterance. As the person speaks in a supernatural ability, as they speak a foreign language, and this could include the tongues of angels, as Paul discusses in Corinth at times. It's meant to communicate the gospel in order for others to hear and understand it. In Acts chapter 2, we see this occurs. The apostles were speaking of all these foreign languages, and people were turning to Jesus because of the words that they were using. It was their own language, and they understood the gospel as it hit their ears. And so I look at tongues, and I'm like, what a fantastic benefit for the mission field, as foreign languages, even the angelic ones, have been used almost immediately for those capable of speaking in tongues. Someone can just arrive on, like, a different country and be like, oh, yeah, I totally know this language, and it's mind-blowing. You see people just pick up on languages like that. This, of course, is followed by the interpretation of tongues. And unfortunately, this is the part that some forget about when speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, it lays out the use of tongues for the church and how it is meant to build up the church of Christ. Supernaturally, the language of tongues is spoken, and then the interpreter is able to supernaturally interpret said tongues into the appropriate language for those around them. Those are the spiritual gifts of 1 Corinthians. There's a lot of them. But there's even more. When we look at Romans 12, Romans 12 gives us the gifts of the Spirit as well. In Romans, there's a few additional gifts. There's preacher, teacher, and the person with exhortation. Exhortation, for those who don't know, it is encouragement, but it also calls out the wrongs within the church. This is one of my spiritual gifts, and And this is maybe why sometimes people have a hard time with me. They don't like to be called out. And so I struggle a bit with approaching this in grace, and I need to do a lot better with grace in that area when I call out wrongs that I see in the church. But do know I do it in a loving way. I love you regardless if I call you out, but that's one of my spiritual gifts is exhortation. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8 says this, we all have gifts. They differ according to the grace God has given to each of us. Do you have the gift of prophecy? Then use it according to the faith you have. If your gift is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. Is it encouraging others? Then encourage them. Is it giving to others? Then give freely. Is it being a leader? Then work hard at it. Is it showing mercy? Then do it cheerfully. And then Ephesians 4, it adds the evangelist to all these gifts. And all of these gifts are for the edification of the body of Christ and the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12 says, so Christ himself gave the gift of apostles to the church. He gave the prophets and those who preached the good news. And he also gave the pastors and teachers as a gift to the church. He gave all these people so that they might prepare God's people to serve. Then the body of Christ will be built up. Did you catch that? Then the body of Christ will be built up. These gifts are distributed by the Holy Spirit. They're not given arbitrarily, but they have a definite purpose in mind. And that is the purpose of bringing together, to unite, or even to join us together. God has made us different so that he might make us one. We have different gifts in order to fit together in the body of Christ. And Paul uses the analogy of the body in 1 Corinthians, in Romans, and in Ephesians. And he does this to illustrate that the different parts of the body are joined together to work together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, we were all baptized by one Holy Spirit, and so we are formed into one body. It didn't matter whether we were Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free people. We were all given the same spirit to drink. We are many members. We're very different. But we are one body. And we need to stop confusing unity with union. It is possible to be in union but not in unity. Many marriages have experienced this. We've seen them get hitting the rocks, and you're like, that is a union that is not in unity. And I also say this as I think about the fact that there's a dog that was put in my house, and it is a part of our family union, but it is not in unity with me in any way whatsoever. Unity is not uniformity either. It doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. We don't have to be clones of one another. The Holy Spirit gives us different gifts, and the Holy Spirit binds those gifts together in the body of Christ. Unity is the result. God is a God of unity, and God is also a God of diversity. I know today's world is tainted the word diversity, but it is true of God. No two snowflakes are alike. We see in his rainbow, even as we discussed in the story today, just this beautiful array of colors. And there are so many fantastic ethnicities in this world. His church is diverse too. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 says, so the body is not made up of just one part. It has many parts. We're to be different from one another, as there is nothing wrong with different. But there is something wrong with division. There's something wrong with being a divided church. We're all different members of the same body. When you think about it, the eye cannot do what the foot can do, and yet the eye can do things that the foot cannot. Both the eye and the foot need each other, which means we all need each other, and we need to be devoted to one another. We need to honor and respect all others and their gifts that they have, as they have been perfectly gifted by the perfect Holy Spirit. When we see a member of our body hurt, we need to hurt with them and empathize with them. We need to pray for them and come alongside them in love. We need to celebrate the gifts that we do have as we minister to one another here in our church, as we look at our teachers downstairs and say, thank you for having the gift of teaching. And thank you for using that To the evangelists in our church, we need to look at them. Thank you for having the gift of evangelism and giving me the courage to also step out and evangelize. It's a scary practice. And we need to aid each other when our member of our body is wounded, as we are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ operates best when it is whole and healthy. So we, the people, need to look out for one another. When we see one of our people tired, we come alongside them, say, how can I help out? How can I pray for you? The spiritual gifts, they have a theological basis, but they also have a very practical application as well. And the gifts of the Spirit are very much still in existence today, in my opinion. And we should use the spiritual gifts that we've been given, because each one of us has been given a gift, at least one, by the Holy Spirit. And we should use those in the service of the church in a way that brings unity to the body of Christ, to our church. I ask that you join me as we pray. And I pray that as we do this, we approach this, and we just ask for the Holy Spirit to gently speak to us. Maybe we don't know what our spiritual gifting is. And that's where I'd be like, hey, come visit me. I love it when people visit. Sometimes I talk a little bit too much, but it's still fun, right? Come hang out, and I'll get some forms that maybe we could fill out together. We could walk together, and they would help determine what your spiritual gifts may be. But yeah, it's something as simple as that. And no, these questions are not super tough, and no, they're not judgy questions. They're just quite easy to walk through. So join me as I pray, and I just pray that the Holy Spirit touches us in this moment. Lord Jesus, today we come to you, and we just lay down at your feet. Thank you for all that you do for us, and we thank you for how you continue to work among us in our church today. Lord, we just pray for your hand to fall upon us. Bring us revelation. Open our eyes to where you see us serving within the church, where you see us serving one another. And may we be a blessing in some fashion. May we listen to your words. May we listen to your challenge as we step out in areas that may bring us discomfort, and instead find out that they'll bring us joy. So we pray for a hand upon us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So good. Paul follows up his discussion about spiritual gifts with this important key factor in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love is the key. Love of Jesus. Have a great week.